You're listening to the Westchester Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ.
Breaking tradition. So I don't know if you're like me in this, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but sometimes, this is my confession, sometimes I space out in church. You know, it's like the singing starts, and all of a sudden this autopilot just kind of comes on, right? You're mouthing the words. Your brain's elsewhere. You're thinking about what you're going to eat next. You're thinking about what you have to do at home. You're thinking about what happened this morning. It's just your brain is all over the place. There are sometimes I actually worry that Mike or the song team is going to trick us one week and put lyrics on there that are just either really just crazy out there or just complete false doctrine just to see who's paying attention. Would you actually, like, if there was something crazy that we put on the screen, would you just sing along if everybody else was doing it? Oh, no, I just gave Mike some ideas. You know, what I also find interesting, you know, when I think about this, when you ask the average person what they believe worship is, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, engaging in worship, they probably would say something along the lines of singing, right? Some sort of song. Well, words come out of our mouth. We even notice that with the songs that we do sing, half the times we don't even do what the words say. Now, what do I mean by that? No, I'm not saying that we don't really believe that God is awesome. I'm not saying that we really aren't trying to obey Him in our daily life. But I am saying things like, you know, when we sing songs like, "We stand and lift up our hands." We're standing, but do we actually lift up our hands? In our hearts, we're lifting up our hands. You know, we sing other songs, you know, the next line of that verse is, "We bow down and worship Him now." Yeah. But is there any bowing down? Now, I know it's difficult with the pews and the way they're set up, and sometimes, right, that there's some other factors that might make it difficult. It would actually be an aerobic exercise for some songs, because some songs have you standing with your hands down on the ground and up around, do a twirl. You know, it's hard to keep up. No, I don't know of any. Well, no, maybe there's one song that we sometimes twirl, and I can't remember. Yes. All around the world, right? We twirl sometimes. It's all around the world. And that's a beautiful thing. But, you know, when it comes to things like that, does our physical body play any part in our worship of God? And if it does, how? What is worship? Where does this come in? And so what we are going to be talking about, as we're talking about worship, right? What is worship from a biblical standpoint? Well, the English word for worship is to ascribe worth to something. Basically, it's an acknowledgement that something is valuable. How does that sound? Yeah, a little bit. But the word that, you know, that word worship that we see in the Bible, it's actually not there in the original language. What? Now, I'm not saying that it's a mistranslation, but what I am saying is that it's a very limited translation. It's there to help us understand what is happening in our terms. But usually what they're translating is an action word. And we're going to get to what some of those action words are. Or they're words that are associated with an action. So as we're discussing what is worship, we're going to talk about, well, how can we engage our whole being in worship? And I think there's a challenge that we need to address even before we approach this question. How do we engage our whole being in worship? Is that sometimes there's a lot of fear that can actually pop up when you're talking about whole being, wholehearted engagement in worship. Now, I don't think that I'm alone in this, but there's a lot of opinions that people have when it comes to worship. We worry about having a worship service or a church service or a faith that's just too emotional. You know, like, whoa, we get out there, we're getting real crazy. That's not the Holy Spirit you're being carried by, that's something else. We can worry about that. We can wonder about that. You know, it's that faith is not, it's not rooted in logic and reason. Now, on the other side of things, we can be too logical and stiff, and that there's no room for the Holy Spirit to actually work and move us. But when we see passages like Mark 12, verse 30, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And so emotions or logic, or is it both? It's both. That's our emotions are part of our whole being. Our mind is a part of our whole being. And you see that every single aspect of our service is an act of worship. From the welcoming. I mean, you think about the welcome. The welcome is like, hey guys, you just picture it. Picture like St. Peter sitting there. You know, Conrad was up here standing in his St. Peter, right? Welcome to the church. Welcome to heaven. Welcome to our time together. Our time that we're praying and we're connecting with God. Our time that we're singing as we are giving of ourselves to God and singing in unison, in harmony with each other, is a way for us to worship. And so we are going to look at a passage in 2 Samuel today, and we're going to read verses 12 to 22. And I know that there's two extremes kind of on the logic side, on the emotion side, and I know each of us as a congregation, we kind of individually, we can go to one side or the other of the scale, of the spectrum. Now, we're trying to get both, but I do think sometimes we lean a little bit on the reserve side. Just a little bit. Not a, just a little bit. And we'll talk about that in a second. So, 2 Samuel. That's my Bible loot. Now David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because the ark of God. So David went up to bring the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with what? All his might. All his might. While he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Despised him in her heart. Maybe you've looked around and judged your brother or sister for the way that they're trying to worship. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished the sacrificing, the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his household when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And so what you see here is David. David is, as the Ark of the Covenant is coming in to Jerusalem, right? To Jerusalem. As he's coming into Jerusalem, he's dancing, he's praising God with all his might. He could not help but be moved to action. His joy moved him to a physical expression of his love. And this is one of the things that separates Christian worship from worship of other gods. Worship of other gods is about making them happy. The worship of the one true God is about a love relationship that you have with Him. And you see that the Scriptures are full of symbolic language as they go through. You know, it's a connection between the physical and the spiritual world that's happening. For example, when you raise your hands, now sometimes when in the Old Testament, when you would make a covenant with someone, you would actually, sometimes, they would cut a part of their arm or a part of their forefarm. They'd leave a little scar. And so they would raise their hands as a way of showing the wound that was in their hand. The wound that was in their hand. Now other times, bowing, that's basically saying, God, when you lift your hands, it's, God, I am faithful to your covenant. It's saying, God, I want to worship you. Look at me. See, I am with you. We are in a relationship. When you bow down, when you kneel, when you fall down, that symbolizes, you want to take a guess? Humility. It showed that you are humble before God. Clapping. Yes, the Bible actually has clapping in worship. We don't just do this out of nowhere. Right? Does anybody have a guess at what clapping might symbolize and what it might represent? Celebration? Yes. But we know this pretty well when it comes to the slow clap, you know? What's the point of the slow clap? It builds up. When's an appropriate time for a slow clap? Apparently not church. For victory! When you are clapping, you are celebrating the Lord's victory! Isn't that cool? Yeah. Things that we can think about as we are going. And dancing. David dancing. When David danced, it was a way of him losing himself in the majesty of God. Losing himself in the majesty of God. And so I have to ask us this question as we are talking about worship. When was the last time you let your feelings for God move you? Like really move you. Move you to the point that you could not contain it just by standing still. You had to do something. Whether it was bowing down, kneeling, lifting your hands, jumping, as David did. David jumped, he leaped, he danced, he pranced for the Lord. He engaged his whole body in worship. You know, it's one thing, we can let music move us, right? Right, you hear a beat, it's going, you're like, oh, that's a nice bass. It's a nice line going on. Right, we can be moved by that. But why don't we let God move us like that? And I'm not talking about grand displays, because I think all of us are going to show this a little differently. Right, and I'm gonna give a list of some different ways in the Bible that it talks about worship, and I actually am gonna want some of the kids' help to help me demonstrate in a second. I know, isn't it awesome? But here's my guideline for you, or something that can help us to think about this. If you won't do an action because you're embarrassed or self-conscious, maybe it's time to let go. Now, if you won't do it because it's not something that's going to help you to go deep, then that's a different story. Like for me, personally, I prefer things like, for me, silence, bowing down, even laying down. That helps me to connect with God on a deeper level than necessarily prancing, or dancing, right? But dancing, I'm not very good at it, but dancing in some ways, right? It allows you to connect with God in a different way, in a very good way, in a very powerful way. But that's really what it's about. Are you holding back from God? Are you letting that emotional connection with God thrive and move? Or have you let life's troubles bury it to the point where you've become numb? And I think when I look at us here, all of us, we have that intense love for God. You would not be here if you did not have that intense love for God, or you were not developing that intense love for God. When you look at McCall's example, she hated David because he wasn't acting like a king, or at least the way she thought a king should act. Or in our case, well, they weren't acting like we thought we should in church, based on our culture. Now again, we got to keep order in service, so I'm not saying, well, I'm speaking, everybody's like yelling, shouting, going crazy, or you're being really disruptive, right? Because there's that balance. That balance between letting the Spirit move and still keeping order in worship, right? There's a reason why in Corinthians, Paul had to keep saying to have order in worship, because they tended to be on the other side of the spectrum. But when McCall looked at David, she thought that his attire made him look like a part of the lower class, and she was critical. That's not a heart that we can have. And David did a good thing by saying, look, I can't hold back my love for God. Because what we're trying to do here when we're together is we are lighting a fire, a passion for God. We are allowing God to flow through us in a way, collective, as one body, so that when we leave this church, when we leave this service, we will continue to do so. We will continue to allow God to flow through us. That's what you see. Biblical worship is active. Your mind, your body, your emotions are engaged in every way. And so I need some help. Can I get some of the youth to actually come up here to help me demonstrate some of these different things of worship? Now don't be embarrassed. You're going to make me do it all by myself? I might have to do this all by myself. Anybody want to help me out? All of the youth want to come help me out? It's your time in the spotlight. Time to shine. Any of the slightly older kids want to help me demonstrate? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. All right, if we can go to the next slide. All right, can you guys step forward over there? That way we can all see you nice and clear. Yeah, come down there. All right. In Genesis 22, verse 5, it talks about bending down as a way to worship God. So if you guys could bend down, either take a knee or bend over a little bit. There we go. Okay. Then in Psalm, do we see this good bending here? Right? This humility that they have and the courage they have to come up as they are bending down. Psalm 95, verse 6 talks about bowing down. How do you bow? There we go. The good bow. Psalm 24, verse 3 talks about rising up. Genesis 24, 26 talks about bowing low. Psalm 122, verse 2, talks about standing up. Psalm 63, verse 4 says, lift up your hands. Can we get everybody to do this at least? Lift up those hands. That's what I'm talking about. Psalm 47, verse 1, talks about clapping your hands. This is the tricky one. Psalm 149, verse 3, talks about dancing before the Lord. Psalm 4, verse 4, talks about being silent before God. And with that, Psalm 46, verse 6, sorry, 46, verse 10, talks about being still before the Lord. Now, should we just have them try to do a bunch of different ones right in a row? All right, bow down, raise up, that up, down. No. You guys are good. Thank you guys so much for coming up and demonstrating. The point is that we don't want there to be a disconnect between our mind and our bodies. That we are actively thinking about the words that are coming out of our mouth. That our bodies are modeling. That they are expressing, showing what is on the inside. It will actually help you connect with God on a deeper level. It'll help us connect with a God that, for all intents and purposes, you may not feel like you can touch right now. This is your way of being able to connect with Him. I think the best part of this is that no matter who you are, you can do this. If you're introverted or shy, you can practice active worship. Look at that list. There's a lot of things on there that are very contemplative. Listening. That's the side that I fall on. It's beautiful. I love it. If you're loud and crazy, you can practice active worship. Look at that list. There's a lot of things on there that you can really get your worship on and move. But either way, the idea is to engage your whole self from head to toe in worship. And that's the Christian contradiction in worship. It's passionate, yet in control. Passionate, yet in control. You know, it's okay, guys, to let yourself get swept up in God. Because if we stifle our emotions, we're just stifling the zeal that God has given us. Because if we're really just talking about a very simple definition of what worship is, it's letting yourself get lost in God and praising Him throughout. Praising Him throughout. And on Sundays, this is the time where we together get to worship God as one body. And when you're home, the way that you live your life, when you're praying, maybe when you're bowing and praying, kneeling and praying, in silence, praying, singing out to Him. When you make a righteous decision in your day-to-day life, those are the acts of worship that carry with us everywhere we go. And so there's the heart behind worship. You need to figure out what that looks like in you. What does wholehearted from head to toe worship look like in you? What does it look like when you're alone? What does it look like when we're together? And let's go. Let's go and let ourselves get lost in the Lord. Amen, guys.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyccoc.net.